All who simply believe on him receive the remission of sins. You receive eternal life. You're forgiven. Hi, and welcome back to BibleLine. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And in today's video, we're going to be answering the question, how were people in the Old Testament saved? It's a common question. I think it has a good, solid Bible answer. But we're going to look and see, is there anything in the Bible that we can grab onto and, you know, lay down an anchor and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. I believe there are clear passages in Scripture that we can hold on to. We're so glad to have you here. If this is your first time here, welcome. Thanks so much for watching the video. If you've been here before, welcome back. Good to have you. Make sure that you like, comment, and share the video. Share it on social media. Share it in an email, a text, whatever. We want to bring people into clear Bible teaching, and especially if they haven't put their faith in Jesus Christ, we want to make sure they get that done too. And make sure, if you haven't already, to hit the red subscribe button and the little notification bell right next to it. Hitting that notification bell lets you know every time that we post a video so you can stay up to date and current. All right, let's get into today's question. So, we have somebody who wrote in a while ago and said, Pastor, I know that people in the Old Testament were not saved by faith and works, as some people teach, and that is correct. But they were trusting in the future death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. Did they know he had to die for their sins? What specifically were they trusting? Also, since they were not sealed with the Holy Spirit, were they still eternally secure? I know they went to paradise because the blood had not yet been offered. Thank you in advance. And just to clarify, I misread that. They said, but were they trusting in the future death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah? Well, I think there's a lot of clarity, especially in the New Testament and with examples that are drawn on in the Old Testament as well, about what people had to understand in order to have eternal life. Salvation will always be the same. It is believing on Jesus Christ for the full payment of one's sins, that his death, burial, and resurrection was an adequate payment for your sin. I've come across this phrase recently, and I like it, so I've been saying it. It's taking God at his word. That's what it means to believe. And the Old Testament saints were no different. And I want to go through some verses here, so we'll have them up on the screen for you. But make sure that you're following along. Pause it. Take notes, because I think these are important. There are clear examples of what people understood in the Old Testament. The first passage I want to look at is in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." So evidently, Abraham had enough knowledge about the gospel and that promise about in him all nations will be blessed through Jesus Christ, and that was preached unto him. He knew that well enough to believe for eternal life. And in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, we see evidence of that. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So I do believe, shown by what Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, that Jesus Christ was preached. And I think Old Testament saints knew that he was going to come and knew that they were going to need a payment for their sin. And even before the law, this was taught. And of course, when the law was instituted, all the sacrifices were a picture of what Jesus Christ was ultimately going to complete. Here's another case, though. Not just the Apostle Paul, but Peter in Acts chapter 10, when he's at the house of Cornelius and he's preaching there. He says this in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." So evidently, even when Peter is talking to Gentiles here, he draws back on how the Old Testament prophets gave witness of Jesus and that belief in his name was going to bring about eternal life. But I think the strongest example, and where we're going to spend the most time in this video, is in the account of the serpents and Israelites in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9 is where we're going to be for a little bit. And actually, the most famous verse in the world, John 3:16, is built off of this story that happened in Numbers 21. Here's what it says. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. We're talking about Israelites here. They were not necessarily happy that they were in the predicament that they were in. And you can see this in verse 5. And the people spake against God. So they weren't just making a comment. This was not necessarily feedback about how they felt about their trip. This was how they believed. They spake against God and Moses, as the rest of the verse goes on and says, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loaneth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. I think when we're talking about a fiery serpent, they weren't on fire, but they were venomous. They had a very deadly bite, and there's evidence for that in the rest of this verse. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." They knew, hey, we messed up. We know God. We just imagine for a second seeing all the things that the Israelites had seen, the Red Sea being parted, the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, manna from above, and they still questioned God. However, they knew they made a mistake. People are now dying as a result of these venomous snakes that are running around and biting people. And they say, "For we have spoken against the Lord," here in verse 7, "and against thee," Moses, he was their leader. "Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. He did. He prayed for the people. But look at what the people asked. They said, "Take away the serpents from us." Now, verse 8, this is beautiful. This is more than just a powerful illustration. This is a picture of the gospel. It's wonderful to see this here. "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made the serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now, Jesus goes and uses that in John chapter 3 and verse 14. He says this to Nicodemus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, I don't think that Jesus would use this as an accurate description to a man who was a ruler in Israel if he was not able to understand what this meant. So what is being said here? The Israelites asked for their sins, they asked for the serpents, I'm getting ahead of myself, to be removed. And what did God do? He sent a serpent as an image to take on what they had done incorrectly. And it's the same thing with Jesus. God didn't necessarily just say, "Okay, I'm going to remove your sins because you asked." No, someone had to still pay for that. The serpent on the pole was a picture of Jesus coming fully as God, fully as man, to make an atonement for our sin. And he did so. The serpent was lifted up, and all those who simply looked were healed of their wound. And those who look on Jesus, who has been lifted up on the cross of Calvary, all who simply believe on him receive the remission of sins. You receive eternal life. You're forgiven. So I think this is adequate enough for us to say this is what the Old Testament saints believed. Now, are we going to get super specific on the vernacular of what they understood? I don't think we have to. I think Galatians 3:8, Acts 10:43, and Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, give us an accurate representation of what was taught. And I think that's where we can camp out, and we can say now, instead of trying to think about, well, let's see if there's any discrepancies with the Old Testament saints. No, the Bible's clear. We see it clear. It's been presented here in this video. And then secondly, let's go out and be clear with other people. Let's go out to the people who have yet to understand the gospel. Get them to understand. You're a sinner. That's not hard to understand. We're all sinners, myself included. The penalty for sin is death. You cannot, by any good works, get to heaven. The Bible says that. All you have to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ, who paid for all of your sins on the cross and rose again 3 days later. The moment you do that, you'll never perish but have eternal life. I hope this is an adequate answer, and I hope that you are able to understand through what the scripture says what the Bible clearly teaches. Make sure you send in your questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.